Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The term that I've used is pole's position.
It's time for Pole's Position.
So the number one pick, by the way, for the Bears is secured.
Brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need it.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
What will Ryan Pole's do with the number one pick?
You guys are drafting Caleb Williams number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Woo. You did it. Okay, so.
We're counting down the days to the NFL draft.
Two picks, wow.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
9999. So I listened to Pole's Position for the last 3 months, every single day, because apparently I don't need to get anywhere with my life. And it's been fantastic.
Sit back and watch them go.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select
the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Pole's Position is brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need us.
Timing is everything.
It really is. It really is. And here's the thing about Pole's Position. It's very sad that it's coming to an end, but it's coming to an end because we do not think they'll have the number one pick next year, so it will not completely dominate the offseason. And the draft.
Man, would it be disappointing if they had the number one pick
something
again next
would have
year.
Gone horribly, horribly wrong. And next, tomorrow is the mock draft, and then Thursday is the real draft. So it's over. It's here. We made it. And Thursday, 5 to 9, after the Cubs game, our show will be live from Detroit, wall-to-wall coverage, round one of the NFL draft. Dave Wanstead and Pat Manley are the expert analysts in studio. Parkins and Spiegel draft special on the Score, the Odyssey app, Twitch, X, YouTube. This is the Score's first ever broadcast on X. We're very excited about that.
Okay.
Draft coverage on the Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
So when will the final Pole's Position take place?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow is the mock draft. We'll make the first pick, and then we will bring on people from the eight other teams.
Wait, I thought we were drafting our favorite Pole's Position topics.
Oh.
I thought it was like a little snake draft action.
That's 3:30.
Yeah, are we still doing it at one of the many hot dogs locations? Is that still the plan?
Why do we have to go back to it?
Sure.
Why are you supposed to make me look better? What are you? They had one in Wrigley. They had a location. They had one in Wrigley. I'm sorry. Technically, that's two.
Now, so then
the other one is closed, though.
You will be on the air prior to the draft beginning, right?
We're on after the Cubs doing our show. And then Wani and Pat join the show at 6. And then we're on through whenever the Bears make the second pick and reacting to that.
So it wouldn't be worthwhile to squeeze in one last Pole's Position like between then and the first pick.
Pole's Position is at 3 o'clock.
Oh, I got you.
Can we have some integrity here? It's at 3 o'clock. It's okay. Benchmark. That's what it is.
Unless that'd be really bad, Ant, if we had to squeeze in one last one. Like, that's a big problem. Yeah, yeah. We have to reevaluate everything.
Oh, we didn't cover Brock Bowers.
What if we see, like, Caleb in a bong mask or something
like
that?
That's what I mean. Like, it would be really bad.
You know? I mean, anything
that's not bad. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'd still take the bong mask guy
he'd
every
still
time.
Still number one, yeah, one of the best. Happens.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil's killing it.
He's an excellent player. Right?
Excellent
he's had
player.
An outstanding career.
He's got no stress.
That explains it.
Exactly.
Being in the media workroom when that thing happened, there's two moments.
You were at the draft for that?
I was at the draft for that.
Cool.
The two moments that stand out to me, I was at both drafts in Chicago. I was at a draft in Dallas, draft in Philly. I was talking to Gross about this off air last night. But when the Bears drafted Mitch, hearing that, like hearing the audible gasp in the media room, that's one moment that stands out. But then also the Laremy Tunsil bong mask minutes before the draft starts, and just the way the whole media room just kind of went up for grabs trying to figure out what is this? Is it real? How's it going to impact him?
Oh, it was
that
real.
That was quite a moment. Oh, yeah.
It was real.
It was spectacular when you think about it.
It was.
Yeah.
Immediately, I was like, oh, value. Mm-hmm. Value on this guy.
If we saw a bong mask video, would it impact Caleb's draft stock?
No.
Not should it. Not should it,
no.
But would it? Okay.
No.
See, this is the pole position we should have done. Like, how far down the drug line are you willing to go?
Right. If he had a video like Kid Cudi falling off the stage where he's clearly tripping
definitely
his face
his
off.
Definitely his athleticism would be questioned at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it's not a Schedule I narcotic, then I think he can do anything he wants. And even then, there are some excuses.
There are some excuses.
Yeah, I mean, weed was scheduled that way for forever. Like, I would probably draft him.
I know you would.
Yeah.
But, like, you're really confident the Bears would still take him number one overall if something like that leaked? His decision making, maturity.
Yeah. Honestly, yes.
Okay.
Because of how they've handled it, he's going out.
They haven't even met with anybody.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't brought in Drake May. They haven't brought in Jaden Daniels. This guy's had dinner with Cole Kmet. Like he's Matt Eberflus and him hung out for 90 minutes before his pro day one on one. Like he is the guy.
They're all in.
He is all in. The guy. So yeah, I think he
bong mask be damned.
Please. And by the way, it would make him more relatable. He's already like pretty interesting, but he's also like I just took some time off to go to Tokyo. Like you know right. what I mean? Like I they're not. He lives in a penthouse in L.A. Like I don't relate to Caleb Williams in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Gas mask bong. I'm like, this is my guy. This is QB1. Oh, man. Yeah. It'd have to be something that he was injecting. Okay. And there'd have to be a needle involved or something. I'm just being honest. Like, it'd have to be some real horrible, like even like, oh, he had a party and he was like tripping. Yeah, it'd be fine.
What if his teammates didn't invite him to their birthday party?
Rumors. No. Innuendo. Okay. Doesn't bother me. All right. He seems perfectly likable. Did you listen to him with Ryan Clark on The Pivot?
Just clips.
Okay. Yeah, he was good.
He's always good.
I know. He's really good.
It was funny seeing the reaction to folks. I don't know. I'm assuming I've talked to you since then, but just when he was in Indianapolis and a lot of folks just hadn't actually looked at him in person or heard him speak live at a mic. And so many people were like, oh, he's a human.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it pissed off polls that Jalen said like you can't bring any Hollywood stuff in here because apparently he just happens to play in Hollywood, but he's not really like that.
I mean, he's from D.C. Yeah.
Well, right. And then he chose to play college football at Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And then his coach happened to leave for USC.
Right.
So he went there.
Yeah, he's been there 2 years.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So apparently that pissed off polls.
Well, no. And I mean, you know, on the whole, like you can have just a Hollywood sort of mentality or something. Am I derailing polls?
No. Yes. You brought it. Yeah, yes.
What were we about to say? Oh, we're going to hear from Ryan Poles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, but go on.
That's actually more important, though.
No, it's not. There's nothing we do is important. Let's be clear.
Or useful.
Let's be clear here. Nothing we
do
is.
Serving the listener.
Yeah. And by the way, it's the second to last polls position. It can roll over into the next segment.
Oh.
So don't worry about it. We can have a polls position hour.
Uh-huh.
Though it seems like, honestly, we maybe have talked more about this than Ryan Poles has spent time considering the pick. Because he's so locked in to what it's going to be. But yes, Ryan Poles met the media earlier today. And this is everything he had to say regarding Caleb Williams.
Ryan, you've had such a long process with this. Your pick is not contingent on what anyone else does. You have the top pick.
Yep.
You've talked throughout publicly as though Caleb is the plan. Are you set on making him your quarterback now?
So, unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. So, yeah, we know what we're going to do, but everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday to go there.
What did you learn about him when he came to Allison, when you took him to dinner with a couple of your vets?
Yeah, I think it just confirmed a lot of the information that we got. You know, there's a kind of testing where his football understanding is. That part, you know, getting him with the coaches, that was a very positive interaction there. And then getting him with some of our players, that's important to us. We're in a really good place with our culture and our locker room. As much as I can, I want those guys a part of the process of building this team. I trust their feedback. And, you know, I think that chemistry is really important. So that's why we did that.
How did that dinner work specifically? Are you at a different table or are you across the room?
Yeah, I was in a different room.
Different room? And, okay.
Brian, does the league not want you to announce the pick, or is that just your personal MO?
No one's told me, so it's my personal deal. And let's have some excitement on Thursday, right?
You said you wanted to get feedback from your players from their dinner with Caleb. What was the feedback that you got from them and from the coaches that were?
Yeah, really intelligent guy. Came across as a really good teammate. Easy to talk to, down to earth. You know, we've talked through this process about, you know, the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him, on top of being successful. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does. So that was positive.
Brian, are you able to shoot
the top 30 visit, the one that where Caleb and some of the other guys were there for that dinner? Guys aren't here yet, current players. How did you get guys to come back? Were they volunteering? Was it something that they wanted to be here for? Or was it something that you reached out to them about being a part of?
Yeah, I respect their time. It's the off season. So just if they were available and they wanted to, they could do that. There's a good chunk of the roster that stays here. And there's a good group that, you know, disperses around the country to their kind of off season locations. Kind of went through it that way, but there's some guys I had in mind that I think it would be important for him to sit down with.
Caleb's been very open with his huge goals. Like, what's been your reaction when you've learned that, you know, he wants to, you know, compete with 8 Super Bowls and Tom Brady and all that stuff? Like, what's your reaction when you hear him say stuff like that?
Yeah, I love it. I think we all should have huge goals. We have huge goals here, win multiple championships, and that's what we shoot for. That's you're more intentional when you have these goals that you shoot. You have to live a certain way. You have to practice a certain way. You have to go about your business a certain way in order to accomplish those. So if everything else is aligned underneath that, that gets me excited.
I know you said that we'll have to wait until Thursday till it becomes official, but you guys only hosted one quarterback on a top 30. Caleb only took one visit to a team. As you go through the homework process, what made you comfortable in going that route of not having some of the other top QBs in here?
Yeah, I would say the different prospects are kind of the journey to collect all that information is different for everyone. There's guys on our board that are high that didn't come in for a 30 visit that we've had other touch points. Our networks in the building know the player inside and out that we really, really trust. You had the combine. There's different kind of touch points. You don't necessarily have to bring everybody in on a visit.
So that's Ryan Poles. That's everything he had to say about Caleb Williams today. Anything jump out there in particular to you?
I mean, you know, obviously glad he was asked about the not having the other prospects. And it does feel like an oversight wouldn't be the proper term, but I do think it's an incorrect way to handle it. I feel like with the number one overall pick, Caleb can be your leader from day one until draft night, but I still think it would have, certainly could have served the Bears to bring in Jaden Daniels, to bring in Drake May, hell, to bring in J.J. McCarthy if you want to, but, you know, at least other guys who would have been in that discussion. They seem to, at this point in the process, at some point in the process, see a fairly chasmous kind of space between Caleb and quarterback number two, whoever else would have been in consideration at number one. But to me, I don't see any downside to bringing in another guy just to see if, you've been wowed by Caleb. Could you be wowed? Could you be floored by somebody else actually getting them into your facility?
So, I was maybe the loudest person criticizing Ryan Pace for how he handled that in 2017.
Right.
They had the third pick in the draft. They knew Myles Garrett was going one. They did the full vetting of the two guys, of Mahomes and Trubisky. Because they apparently, because I've talked to Josh Lucas about this, they're like, on the film, those were the guys that we were considering, and we knew that we would get one of those two guys at three. Right at the time, they did not know they were trading up from three to two. So the film is what made them determine who they were going to do. My argument was, how could the film of Deshaun Watson not, who played Bama twice in a title game, was the first 4,000, 1,000 guy, how could that film not have him in the group with a one-year starter at North Carolina and a guy in the air raid offense in the Big 12 that had never produced a good NFL quarterback? So I disagreed with that part of it. But what it sounds like, and what I've talked to some people who say, is like, the film said that there was a huge gap, like you're talking about. And so once if the personality red flag would have come up, then they would have entertained other guys. But when the personality red flag didn't come up and the film says he's way better than the other, because you don't, I think, maybe it's conventional wisdom, you don't want the film needs to be the biggest part of the evaluation, more so than the pro day, more so than the combine, more so than the in-person visit. Like, what they actually do on tape has to be the biggest piece of it. And so when they don't get any red flags anywhere else, and they have the ninth pick in the draft, so they have to use those top 30 visits on vetting the guys for that premium pick too. All of those factors make it different than the 2017 thing. But like 2017, Ryan Pace had to be right. He wasn't.
Right.
Ryan Poles has to be right. But I think that there's enough differences between now and then that make this at least a defensible position to take on Caleb Williams.
As long as they're right, it of course won't matter. But I would just disagree with the evaluation, thinking that there's this chasmous difference between the film of Jaden Daniels and the film of Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is the number one quarterback in this class. No disagreement on that.
Don't think the gap is that big?
No, and I think the game, the in-pocket game, especially of Jaden Daniels, is a more mature quarterback game than Caleb Williams brings to the table. And so with that, I think Jaden Daniels is the level of prospect worthy, and especially because I do feel like the in-person, when you're talking about the number one overall pick in the draft, the in-person, to me, that is a huge part of the evaluation. The film matters so much, but you need a requisite amount of physical traits to be worthy of that status, but then also what you are mentally, emotionally, the maturity, the mental and emotional stamina that goes into being able to be that guy in this city, especially going into a locker room with expectations and grown-ups, that all matters a lot. And getting a sense for that, from talking to everybody else, but then from putting him in front of guys who are going to be in that locker room, in front of you and your coaches, but measuring someone else up in that way, to me, I feel like that would have been a worthwhile use of resources.
I think that's super valid, and this I have no sourcing on, this part. So is it possible that because of the uniqueness of Caleb's power that they didn't want to, or that he asked them not to? Like, is it at all possible? Caleb,
how do you mean power when you say it, though?
It's been a while now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's been months. Mm-hmm. But, RG3 said it yesterday that he should Eli Manning his way out of Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. It's been a while since that was out there. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if at any point it was like, this is our guy. Mm-hmm. He's not taking a visit anywhere else. And we don't want to offend him, upset him, flirt with somebody. Like, this isn't The Bachelor. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're not going on dates with other people. Like, this is our guy. And I've been struck by, it's pretty clear to me that they're already doing install with Caleb Williams.
You know
what I mean? His rookie mini camp is not going to be the first time he knows the terminology. You know what I mean? They are...
They want him to hit the ground running.
Yeah, man.
That is a lot.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Like, certainly
well, like, there would have been a point, I don't know, a decade ago where they would have perhaps even negotiated a contract with him by now, and draft night would have been a formality with the team who has the number one pick.
I guess that's true. Well, this is a pretty big formality.
I'm just saying, to the point you just made there about, there's a point in time where, sure, they would have gone down the contract road and maybe begun some install beforehand. It's not unheard of, but, yeah, I mean, it's for this current time frame, it's not something we've seen in a while.
And it's certainly never happened to a Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And that part feels good.
Sure.
When I found out that Matt Eberflus and him had 90 minutes of one-on-one time before his pro day in Southern California, I was like, I mean, that's kind of risky. I mean, Eberflus seems like he might be a little weird. It was kind of crazy that Caleb granted that. And then the pro day ends, and he...
But Caleb granted that?
Yeah, man. I don't know. Am I crazy?
Kind of.
Really?
Why wouldn't Caleb grant a one-on-one interview with the coach who's going to draft him number one overall?
It wasn't at all a lock at that. I mean, I thought it was a lock. We thought it was a lock.
Well, right. It's a job interview. You want to meet with the people, with your future employers.
Well, they wanted him to come here for the full day in-person thing before the pro day, and he said no. And he waited.
Didn't time up well for him, but that doesn't mean you never meet with them.
I don't know that. I don't think it was going to be never meet with him, mm-hmm. but I guess I was just surprised that the Bears seemed like they were a part of the Caleb Williams camp that early.
Hmm.
Like,
I mean, it's just part of kind of what happens at a pro day, though. Like, you're going to meet with the teams, especially the team that has number one.
Yeah,
well, right, because the Bears had the number one pick, though. I mean, that's
right. But it was crazy, man. Like, the Patriots are there, and the Commanders are there,
right?
And the Bears are there, and the pro day ends. And he goes over and he daps up Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and walks right past Elliot Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, I'm like, damn.
I feel like that's more noteworthy than him actually meeting with the Bears. But yes, shunning everyone else.
This is done.
Uh-huh.
Like, this has been done for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what, and so I think, like, both ways,
mm-hmm.
like, Caleb has committed to the Bears,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't said anything bad about Chicago. He hasn't lusted over playing at home in his hometown that has the second overall. You know what I mean? He has done nothing to make that noise real, and the Bears haven't done anything to make any noise real about them doubting Caleb Williams. Like, I think it's been like a mutually beneficial, coordinated PR campaign of, like, we're really into you and you're really into us, and we don't have eyes for anybody else.
Caleb and the Bears being in lockstep, that is a good thing for Caleb transitioning into being a member of the Chicago Bears. But to one of the points you kind of brought up a little while ago, if it was, you know, just as an example, if it was for some reason Caleb or someone in Caleb's camp said, hey, you know, we don't want you meeting with any other quarterbacks if we're going to do this thing or else kind of vibe, then that would perturb me. And I wouldn't think the Bears should acquiesce to something like that if, you know, even if they really want Caleb number one overall.
Yeah.
For him to try to handcuff the franchise from meeting with other people, evaluating other prospects, that wouldn't be something the Bears should give into.
And again, no evidence happened, but it's been kind of striking to me for how long they've both in that Pete Thamel piece that came out, he was like talking about Michael Jordan and Walter Payton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, damn, this guy is pandering to Chicago in a way that I was not at all convinced that he was going to. Like, he seems to be really excited about coming to Chicago.
I think that's a great thing, and the Bears still should have evaluated the other quarterbacks a little more closely, in my opinion.
Ryan Poles, because Ant derailed us with gas mask bong.
There's more polls?
Yeah, there's more polls. Yes, right. On everything else. On the ninth pick, on how he's feeling lucky, on all sorts of things that we'll get into. More Brian Polls next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Twitch and YouTube wants to see Whitey.
Come on over here, Whitey, say hello.
What's up, Windy City?
Afternoons on The Score.
Thank you guys for coming. It's good to see everybody. Just want to say there's an energy in this building this week with all the players coming back. They got back last Monday, so it's good to see some familiar faces, get caught up with them, get to see some new faces, get to know them a little bit more. But that energy also is because of the draft this week, so we get a chance to add a few more players to this roster that we're excited about.
It's that guy, Wayne.
It'll be that guy Williams with the number one pick. Anthony Herron is in for Spiegs. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Real talk. Where's Spiegs?
He is flying back from California. He goes out. He goes out there for Passover.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So traveling back today. Did the Seder yesterday. So.
And Rosenberg's laughing. By the way, happy Passover to Al. And for all of our Jewish friends, we know this is the start of Passover. The Seders will start tonight. And be safe when you drive home from wherever you're spending that Seder.
It's good advice. It really is. So this is everything else. That was all the stuff that Ryan Poole said about Caleb. This is everything else that mattered. Thought process, trading back, if he's cool with only having four picks in this draft, etc.
Ryan, I'm sure you guys have identified how many blue players you all feel are available at positions of need if you're in the top nine. And just because you all have the ninth pick, that's probably the most likely scenario that you pick there. But what would be the second most likely option? Would that be to move up for a guy you guys absolutely love or to fall back and get one of those guys?
Yeah, that's hard to answer right now. I think as the draft unfolds, there's going to be some indicators that kind of start to educate us on how we need to move to acquire the top talents in this draft.
If a trade back does kind of become the scenario, is there a threshold where you go, okay, this is too far back to move? We want to kind of stay in this range. Is there a range for you?
Yeah, as I've said in the past, like, we need to count, you know, the players in certain ranges, and that's, you know, we would feel uncomfortable if we got outside of whatever threshold that is. So again, it's kind of depends on the first couple picks and how they move, and we'll kind of count them up and say, you know what, here's the line. We can't go past that.
Do you feel a need to add more picks?
Do you feel
a need to add more picks going in with only four?
No, I feel really good at where we're at. If that happens, that's great. If we have less, that's whatever we need to do to kind of accomplish what we're setting out to do and improve our football team.
What do you think the biggest area of needs are still on this team?
The nice thing is from the work that we've done, I feel pretty good about just being flexible. That's why we did that project with kind of some premium positions, with O-line, with D-line, receiver, and all that feedback was outstanding. Like, it gave you a really good feeling. Like, there's different championship caliber teams that have built their teams in different ways. And it really, I think, solidified just those premium positions are important. So that, I'd say, like, those three are there. It matches up with his drafts pretty well.
Ryan, there's a lot fewer underclassmen declaring now than there were like 5-6 years ago. How much of that influences your comfort with having four picks and also the comfort to move some of the picks that you did to get Bates and Keenan and the guys that you did?
Yeah, I think we both feel comfortable with how the board set based off of the draft class. Each year is different, right? This year, I think there were, I want to say, 58 juniors that declared. To your point, like, each year is different. So we kind of have to work in the constructs of this year with what we have given to us.
How do you all balance that subject? Is the idea of having so few picks, is that... How much does the strength of the current roster play into your comfort level with having that number of picks versus your first couple of years you've needed a lot of picks?
Yeah, things shift and change as you go along. It's going to be hard to make this team now. It's going to be really hard to make this team. That doesn't mean you don't want more shots later. We'll always you know, welcome a lot of picks, but it doesn't force you to panic about the situation we're in right now with how many picks we have. So it fits our roster, but it also fits kind of like we just talked about, the current status of this draft and then moving forward what next year looks like as well.
When you evaluate your needs at defensive line, how do you weigh the impact of a defensive tackle versus an end? And you said, you know, different teams build in different ways. Was part of your evaluation at that position, okay, who did it by going inside first versus getting an edge rusher first?
Yeah, we've talked about inside and outside. Both are multipliers. Generally speaking, I would say the inside guy has the shortest path to the quarterback. So therefore, like, if you have, and we both have lived with really good elite players that are in the inside, and it changes everything. And it opens up a lot for other teams as well. So, yeah, having that interior rush is probably a preference when you have an outside guy. It makes it really difficult to scheme up. So,
Brian, are you able to share how many first-round grades that you guys have? And then, I guess, like, how do you delineate when you use a top 10 pick outside of the first pick? Like, what does that player have to have to use in order for you to use the ninth pick?
Yeah, I mean, they got to impact the football team from a skill set standpoint. But we always are going to look at some key things when we talk about passion for the game. We talk about coachability, dependability, resilience. Those things are going to be consistent from the first overall pick to, you know, seventh round draft pick. Like, we want guys that have that. We have an indicator we put on their tag. We put a bear head on their tag because, you know, we call them the grizzly, the top bear. They have those traits. So we're always looking to hit those. And obviously the earlier, you know, in the draft, you want to have those. The other thing too is, you know, we had a good conversation with a Hall of Famer that is one of Ian's mentors. And he said, you want the guys in that first round to be the cover of your album. You know, you want those to be the one where everyone can look to that player and be like, all right, what he's made of is what we all need to be a part of. So that's important as well.
In the evaluation process, how do you balance a scenario where maybe you have an opportunity to get the third best prospect at one position versus getting the top prospect at another position?
Say that one more time for me.
Maybe you can get the third best receiver. Maybe you can get the top defensive lineman on your board. How do you balance going about that process in terms of making that decision?
Yeah, that'll come down to all the characteristics that we look like, the skill set, the whole person. We have this long process. Ian and I sit down. We actually sequence the board, one through whatever it is this year, 200, whatever, could be less than that. And we sequence it to kind of sort that part out. So you work your stacks vertically, and then you work horizontal, and you work down the board that way.
That was really interesting. He's a really smart guy. I'm not at all going to pretend like he has tipped his hand there. But that album cover answer, he's talked so much about getting a blue player. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says he groups players. And so if they have four blue players and they're with the ninth pick, that would suggest that he would be comfortable trading down to 12 because you could get a blue player at 9, 10, 11, or 12. That would be four, right? So you want to take the highest graded player you can with the lowest possible pick so that you can accumulate more assets. Like, I understand the philosophy. But if he's like, you got to get the guy that's going to be on the cover of the album, I don't think he's trading down. I don't think he's trading up. Mm. I'd be a little surprised if he gave up next year's first round pick. But I think that Byron Murphy or Rome Odunze, or maybe Brock Bowers, but those would be my three. That I'd be like, I think those are going to be the guys that at least one, if not two of them, are going to be there, and it could be all three, are there at nine, and he'll take them. He's going to get a guy for the cover of the album.
Now, if Rome Odunze is not there, then the other names you mentioned that would likely be on the board there, but you know, Byron Murphy, I think in a lot of years, I don't view him as a definitive top 10 pick, but he might be the first defensive player off the board this year because he is the best interior defensive lineman. Same with a guy like Jared Verse is my favorite true all-around defensive end. He's not a guy who I say like surefire top 10 caliber pick. Brock Bowers, because of his position, I would make a similar case about. He's the best tight end in the draft, but he's a tight end. So when you're already deep at tight end, do you want to spend a top 10 pick on a tight end? That's where I think that trading down is still a very viable option. Because if it's Rome Odunze, then yeah, that's a value that you say that's a talent worthy of a top 10. But if Odunze is not there, if Neighbors doesn't fall or something like that, then, you know, like Alt, if Alt is there, okay, that's a tackle. It's top 10 value in his evaluation. But if it's one of these other guys, all right, the best defensive end in the draft, maybe isn't a top 10 pick caliber guy. Best interior defensive lineman might not be that caliber of prospect.
Yeah, but then you're going to need someone who's willing to trade up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, who are they trading up for?
Yeah. Well, yeah, if no one's willing to trade up, then that's different. Then you got to pick somebody. So, yeah, you pick the best player who's there who fits you.
Yeah.
That's where Dallas Turner, I don't think, fits the Bears' scheme that well, even though he's the highest ceiling pass rusher in the draft coming off the edge. I just don't necessarily think he fits the Bears scheme.
All right, so Verse, obviously you know infinitely more about defensive line play than I do. Scares me the profile of he's just older than everybody and stronger than everybody. Like how much of it is he's 4 years older than a 19-year-old sophomore and he bull rushes him because he's an adult and that guy's a child and you're not going to be able to do that in the NFL.
I mean, I think that matters, but he does have a more well-rounded toolbox than just being a power rusher. He can, you know, he's not as explosive with his speed as Chop Robinson, but he does have finesse speed moves as well. He's a well-rounded pass rusher. He can play true defensive end, but he is also a guy who I don't see as a definitive lock top 10 value in his evaluation. He just happens to be the guy I think is the best true defensive end in this draft, which the Bears run a four down even front. They need a true defensive end.
Yeah. I mean, he feels to me like he's pretty safe. Like, I don't think he'll be a bad player. Like, he's got a high floor.
But number nine probably isn't the best value getting a Jared Verse.
Yeah. That would.
But for every defensive end in this draft, that's pretty much the same evaluation.
So take offense. So take a guy that'll help Caleb.
So if Odunze's gone, though, like if all three receivers are already gone.
Then take a tackle. Then upgrade your offensive line.
Yeah.
Or take Bowers.
If it's not Alt.
I mean, I trust that Ryan Poles, he's good at drafting offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey. He's got a pretty long track record of selecting, not that he was the top decision maker in Kansas City, but he was the former offensive lineman who was the director of college scouting when they made those draft picks. Like He's got a pretty long track record of successful offensive line. Just take the highest graded offensive player on your board at nine.
Yeah, I mean, if the quarterbacks are all the top guys are going high and then all the receivers are coming off the board, there's going to be really good players who get pushed down. So if Joe Alt gets pushed down, to me that's a good top 10 value at number nine. If not that, then it's going to feel like a bit of a reach if Alt isn't the guy who's there, if Odunze isn't the guy who's there. It's going to feel to me like a little bit of a reach if they don't trade down. But, yeah, if you don't have a trade partner, you take the best player who's there, and it's still going to be a really good player, just maybe somebody who you could have gotten outside the top 10 if you found a trade partner.
All right, we got a lot more to get into, how they're going to develop this guy. I want to talk a little NBA playoffs. It's been absolutely insane theater. But you have the unique ability, Anthony Herron. He's not going to be a Bear, but he will be a first-round pick. It's endlessly fascinating, and you are going to scout for us the white corner.
Ooh.
It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Parkinson Spiegel. Yeah. Sounds like the law firm you call when you get a parking ticket.
Afternoons on the score.
Mike, who's your guy?
My guy is Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean, and it is
DeJean?
It's seemingly pronounced DeJean.
DeJean.
According to the Beast, it's D-E-E capital E's.
Okay.
All right?
DeJean.
So we'll go with what
like
he's
Dijon,
got there.
Like but Dijon I'm, mustard.
It's easier for me to just say DeJean.
Okay.
The Great White Hope. Let's get it. Weaknesses.
White! He played at Iowa. Cooper DeJean. Anthony Herron. We have an extinction of white defensive backs in the NFL. Will Cooper DeJean, who people say is going to be a first-round pick, I feel like he's already a Green Bay Packer.
Endangered, not extinct. Endangered.
Endangered.
Yeah.
How many white corners are there in the NFL?
There's at least one.
Okay. All right.
I can think of one.
That's pretty endangered.
Yes. Endangered, just not extinct.
Okay.
Endangered.
All right.
It's the difference.
Is Cooper DeJean number two?
Yeah. He's going to be a first-round pick. So he's not going to be a guy who you're going to draft to play press man. That's not what he did.
Is he not fast enough?
It's not a straight-line speed. He's extremely straight-line fast, but he's not that effective in press man coverage. But, in your Lovie Smith, Tampa 2, cover 2 type of zone concept defense, he could play that at a high level. I think he could play anywhere in the secondary well. His best position to me, even though we didn't see him play it in college, would be free safety. He'd never really played corner before he got to Iowa. Iowa picked him up in recruiting. He was one of the top recruits in the country, but he's from some small town in Iowa, a few dozen people live in the town. Dan probably cooked for more people last night than are in this town that Cooper DeJean is from. But He dominated everything, every sport, because he's just bigger, faster, stronger than everybody on the field. Played quarterback, played receiver, played running back, played safety. And then he got to Iowa and his true freshman season, they had an injury in the slot, in the nickel, so he played there. Then the next couple of years, he played really well, made a bunch of plays at corner because that's where they needed him at Iowa. But it's one of the top punt returners in the country as well. But at corner, he could be your cover two corner. That he could play at a high level. If you want to press man, cover people across the board, that's not his specialty. But I think his most dominant position in the NFL would be free safety.
You think he has the ability to dominate?
Yeah.
You be a plus? Okay.
Yeah, as a safety, yes.
As a safety. Yes. I watched the highlight compilation today, and it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And the punt return.
You sound so surprised.
I am surprised. Now, some of the pick sixes are, bad quarterbacks,
right,
telegraphing
as
passes.
As are going to be the case a little bit. Yeah. If you get your hands on the ball a lot, not all of them are going to be like where you plant your foot and drive on the route where you baited some guy.
He had a pretty sick one against Rutgers.
Uh-huh.
He had it was like a Willie Mays style over the shoulder, high degree of difficulty catch that he then took some contact, didn't go down, and made a big return. That Rutgers pick six was very impressive.
He's the type of playmaker that could have played really well on offense in college too. He could play a variety of positions at a really high level. He's just a really coordinated, adept, comfortable athlete. I mean, and, you've seen how difficult it can be to be a punt returner. The Bears drafted a guy who still doesn't know how to return punts, and they drafted him basically just as a return specialist. Cooper DeJean, whoever drafts him, he's going to be the best punt returner on their roster. He's going to be one of the best defensive backs. Just his most natural position at the professional level is going to be more so free safety. But can he play corner? I think in a cover two system where there's a lot of off coverage, where he can drive on routes, anticipate, use those ball skills that he has at a really high level. Yes, he can do that in the NFL too.
All right. It's kind of exciting.
You think so?
I do.
You think this is like a comeback?
It only takes one.
Reemergence?
Yeah, Jason Sehorn?
There's one. Guess where he played college football?
Iowa.
Riley Moss got drafted by the Denver Broncos a couple of years ago after a fantastic college career at Iowa.
How's he doing?
I mean, he's on the roster.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, Denver's just a bad team, so I don't think Riley Moss made Pro Bowls yet.
Yeah, he's not exactly Patrick Surtain out there. Okay. Yeah. All right, so there's two.
Mm-hmm.
All right, look at Iowa.
He's about to be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's on third.
Yeah.
Packer?
Maybe Colt?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Does Utah have a team?
In the National Football League?
Yeah.
Are we racially profiling organizations that would draft a white corner?
Yeah. It's like when Gordon Hayward went to the Jets. I was like, yeah, that tracks. Yeah. Oh, now he's a Celtic? Come on.
We got
to
get Ann on record about Torrey Taylor. Would you use, if you were the Bears, would you use a pick on Torrey Taylor, the Iowa punter?
Oh, yeah, good point.
I don't think the Bears have enough picks and have enough depth of talent to use a pick on a punter, but I wouldn't hammer him for it because, man, he's good. I mean, a fourth-round pick on a punter is a little bit rich, but if you're going to do it on anybody, man, I made the case for Torrey Taylor to win the Heisman last year. For everything he dealt with that Iowa offense.
What?
Getting them out of trouble over and over again.
Do you have a vote?
I do, yeah.
Did you vote for him?
I didn't end up voting for him.
He was not on your ballot?
Unfortunately not. Not at the end.
Okay.
He had like one kind of okay game against Michigan State. He was imperfect.
You were going to give him a fifth-place vote?
I made the case on television for him to be considered. It's out of three. We get
it's
three
out of
slots.
Three. You get three slots.
Yeah. So three slots wasn't quite enough for me to give Torrey a vote. But I mean,
I went to
his home country in Australia. I was looking for the legacy of Torrey Taylor.
Wow. Okay. This guy's thinking about voting for punters for Heisman, and I can't get a vote. It's a real outrage out here.
You want a Heisman vote?
Yeah. I want a ward vote. I should get ballots.
I think you should have Dan gift you his vote.
I've already asked. He said he said that Jason gets first crack at it. Yeah. I think I should have Teddy Greenstein's Hall of Fame vote.
Okay.
I think I should have Bernstein's Heisman ballot.
Yeah.
And,
Now, which Hall of Fame does Greenstein vote for?
The Baseball Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'd rather have his than Haw's.
Haw puts a lot of time and thought into it.
Are you assuming Greenstein doesn't?
I know he doesn't. Teddy, I shouldn't say that. Teddy Greenstein on the air when I was arguing with him about his ballot, he said, "Well, it's just my ballot."
Okay.
And I was like, "Well, okay, I can't argue with that." I can't argue with that logic, and I've held it against him ever since. And it's pure jealousy.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I want some sort of ballot. NBA awards would be excellent.
Oh, I can see you.
I'm taking All-Star Game MVP.
Does Nick's got to vote for NBA awards, right?
He does. He deserves one. He deserves one.
That surprises
I know some real
scrubs. I feel like a bunch of people have NBA votes.
They do. Some real scrubs.
Okay.
So
Nick's going to get one before you then.
Definitely.
Okay.
But it'll be nice because then I can ask him who he's voting for and I can gamble on it. That's gonna be big for me. I desperately want a local team to be back participating in one of the great television runs that we have. It's Parkinson's Spiegel on the screen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.